When we were choosing a puppy last fall from the litter of 13 that our friend's Labrador Retriever had given birth to, we spent more than an hour sitting on the patio in the fenced backyard of our friend's house, observing all the pups. The puppies were about 5 weeks old at that point, and so they were still really small and babyish. We'd pick one up and hold it, put it down, pick up another, watch two or three exploring, two or three others wrestling around. Some of them trembled when you picked them up. Some of them were more alert than others. One pooped on the ground and then promptly rolled over in it. The one we eventually picked out for our own was the only one who found the gap in the fence and figured out how to escape through it. Although at a little less than 6 weeks of age, she was too small and too slow to get very far. She was the one who came around the backside of the patio where the step up was too high for her to climb, and after attempting it a couple of times, was smart enough to go back around to the other side of the patio where she could get up more easily and go where she wanted to go. She was the one who was curious and bright-eyed, but also willing to snuggle in once she was on your lap for a few moments. She was not one of the ones who trembled with fear when picked up. She was the runt of the litter, the smallest of the 13, but she did not show it in terms of personality. She had lots of personality. I've heard it said that over time, people and their dogs come to resemble each other, that it's not uncommon for a dog to somehow resemble their owner and vice versa after a while anyway. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but you've probably seen cartoons, for example, that illustrate that. It may not be true, but I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that when people are choosing a dog, they probably choose a dog, maybe intentionally, maybe even unconsciously, that somehow reflects what they believe about themselves. In other words, we probably choose a pet that matches up with how we see ourselves or how we might like to be perceived. We choose our match. So if I apply that to myself, to my own personality and the personality of my family more generally, because they were involved in the choosing of the puppy too, I guess at some level I was probably looking for a dog that would grow up to match me or match us. Or at least match how I see myself or how we see ourselves. So we chose the one that was curious, the one that was smart, warm, willing to explore, but also willing to lean into relationship and connection. As far as choosing the runt of the litter, the smallest of the 13 siblings, maybe that was about choosing the one that no one else would choose based solely on appearances or values of size and strength. That matches me too. I vote for the one that the world considers the least. So I was choosing a puppy with those appealing, positive dog characteristics, that assertiveness, that intelligence, that exploration. What I was not choosing was a little lamb. I was getting a dog, not a sheep. And to that point, I was glad to be getting a puppy and not a lamb, because if I was to choose an animal to take care of and connect with, I certainly didn't want a creature that was the dumbest of the bunch, the most dependent, the one that instead of figuring out how to escape through the fence gets stuck in the fence. I wasn't looking for the one with the least amount of curiosity, the least ability to cope with the new and the unfamiliar. I wasn't interested in the kind of pet that gets lost and can't find its way home. A little lamb? No. I didn't want a sheep. However, a retriever mix, a dog that's bred for independence and energy and curiosity, then is also bred to seek affection and approval, bred to head out into the field, then also to come back to its owner. That was of more interest to me. It would be a better match for me, right? Not that my friends who sold us the puppy had little lambs for sale as well, but for the purposes of the comparison I'm making, it is safe to say I wasn't interested in getting a sheep for a pet, because I don't identify with sheep. I don't find sheep appealing. I'm not interested in being a sheep or being considered similar to a sheep, even metaphorically. However, if I slow it down just a little bit, I will probably have to admit that all that difference declaring may be a bit overblown, as often our bias is. And quite honestly, here's my bias. Unlike dog, when I think sheep, automatically I imagine creatures that are unintelligent, fearful, easily lost, utterly dependent. Dog smart, sheep dumb, dog curious, sheep timid, dog capable, sheep dependent. That's my binary thinking on the matter. But it turns out that sheep may be smarter than most people think. Do a little research or talk to someone who actually knows sheep, and you will find out that sheep are highly social, naturally friendly, gentle. They can recognize other sheep as well as their owners. They can remember things, solve puzzles and problems, have sensible preferences related to their environment, such as staying away from dark or enclosed spaces, have an excellent sense of smell, have distinct personalities, have a range of emotions, which include anger, boredom, and happiness, and, said one source I read, they can differentiate between facial expressions and they prefer a smile to a frown. They don't like sudden or loud noises like yelling or barking, but who does? They can become nervous and hard to handle in stressful situations, but who isn't? Studies have also shown that sheep are actually good at recognizing the faces of their handlers, and given a choice between two different faces from a photo lineup, they will choose the picture of the one they know and trust almost all the time. Okay, maybe I need to rethink a few things, given all the puppy chaos we are experiencing right now in our household. Maybe I should have gotten a lamb instead of a puppy. At least a lamb wouldn't be nipping at us and jumping up on us, which is the latest issue we're dealing with. All that said, there's probably a good reason or several good reasons that Jesus uses the images of sheep and shepherd instead of using puppies as illustrations in his teaching about his relationship to us. Certainly part of the reason is that shepherds were commonplace in that time, but there's also the interesting and instructive nature of sheep, the nature of shepherds, and most importantly, the nature of the relationship between the two. There's something really important about the relationship between sheep and shepherd, something important for us to recognize and to learn from. Sheep may be smarter than I thought, but they're also incredibly vulnerable. In a world of predators and prey, they are the prey. That means they're not aggressive and sharp-toothed and strong and savage. They are instead highly social, naturally friendly, gentle, and therefore vulnerable. And again in the Gospels, Jesus takes up for the vulnerable. He sides with the weak, not the strong. He offers to care for and lifts up those who are at the bottom of the pile or at the margins of the social order. If in the lessons of the Gospels we are to be described as sheep and Jesus as the shepherd, it's not a put-down to us, a put-down to our intelligence or our abilities or our talents. It is instead a simple and straightforward confirmation of our state of vulnerability. In a world that uses power to push others around and uses violence to manipulate and control, it is a confirmation that the world we live in is, in so many ways, a world of predators. And it is a confirmation that the weak and lowly need a protector, a savior, someone to stand between them and the wolf. Jesus is willing to do that, to be that, to protect, to care for, to offer compassion, to be reliable, to know and be known. Jesus stands up for and stands over the sheep like a shepherd. This is how he puts it in the words of Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase of this morning's scripture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. You need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They will also recognize my voice. Then it will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I freely lay down my life, and so I'm free to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own free will. I have the right to lay it down. I also have the right to take it up again. I receive this authority personally from my Father. It's all right there. The good shepherd sacrifices for the sheep, sacrifices self for the sheep if necessary. It's not about reward. It's about relationship. Because the good shepherd knows and is known by his sheep, there is a deep relationship there, and it is a relationship that is characterized by care, protection, and even sacrifice. It's characterized by those things, but at its solid core is that the shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. The relationship's intimacy is powered by knowing and being known. But while it is a close relationship, it is not an exclusive one. Or maybe a better way to say that is that it is not an excluding relationship. That is, there is an understanding and a commitment to that understanding that there will always be more sheep that need to belong, that need to be cared for, that need to be gathered in. Many sheep, one flock, loved and cared for by one committed and caring shepherd. And in Jesus' words, there's also the confirmation of choice. There is a choice to care for and care about the sheep. Compassion and care, the kind that the good shepherd gives, is freely given. It is pure in that way, not compelled, but chosen. And this is important because for love and care to be real and reliable, it can't be compelled. It has to be chosen. So the good shepherd, Jesus, chooses us, the sheep, and he chooses to stay with the sheep. In the context of John's gospel, these words of Jesus come right at the front edge of the event of the death of Lazarus, which in turn leads to the passion narrative. So characterizing himself as a shepherd who cares for his sheep and who stays put to do so, even facing danger, isn't an idealistic dream. It's the gritty reality for Jesus. The moment of truth is almost literally upon him, and yet the words are in no way fearful or forced. It's a matter of fact. Jesus stays put. Jesus is going nowhere. The sheep need a shepherd. He is there. Danger is threatening. No matter what, he's staying put. Now, out of context, maybe that doesn't sound like a big deal, staying put, going nowhere. In fact, maybe it sounds passive. Except for this. In a world that is so much on the run, either trying to run over whoever's in our way, or trying to run away from whatever nips at our heels, or simply running into whatever blocks our path, Jesus isn't running. He's staying put. He may die. And in fact, not long after this passage, as the narrative continues, he does. He may die, but that's not what motivates or moves him. He's not a fight or flight guy. He's a stay put guy. He's going nowhere when going nowhere means everything. Now, as Christ followers, as the body of Christ, as Christ's hands and feet in this world, think about us. Think about you yourself. You can be as Christ by staying put with your sheep, by simply staying put, by neither fleeing nor fighting. You can be as Christ, the Good Shepherd. By keeping ears and eyes open for danger and then standing in the path of danger, unflinching and unafraid, you can do it by being a true friend. You can do it by being a parent or a sibling or a surrogate parent or sibling. You can do it by channeling the grace and peace of Jesus. You are not a hired hand in this life. You're not a hired hand in your family. You're not a hired hand in your circle of friends. You're not a hired hand in this community. You're not a hired hand in this church. You are a shepherd. We are shepherds for each other. You gather and are gathered. We gather and are gathered. And no wolf will sneak up on us. No wolf will snatch any of us away, because as Christ's continuing body in this world, we are committed to being fully present and compassionately watchful and courageously sacrificial. We are, aren't we? A good shepherd knows the sheep and is known by the sheep. A good shepherd chooses to stay and watch over the flock, no matter the danger, no matter the cost. A good shepherd widens the circle of connection and care. A good shepherd is going nowhere when going nowhere is everything. With the shepherding we give and the shepherding we receive, may it be so. Amen.